This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Clean, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVNB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 402nd episode of the IVNB podcast. We're going to be talking about the series that the Cubs just wrapped with the Cardinals, a series that they won. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
I'm Kurt.
Well, in the last episode, we shared that it had just been announced that we are finalists in the sports category of the Podcast Awards. And this is an honor because your nominations counted for something like, I think, around 40% of the judging. And the other stuff was like the website, how easy it is people to find your podcast, and some of the stuff that kind of flies under the radar for most listeners, sound quality, how you encode your files, ID3 tags, all that kind of stuff, you know, how it displays in different podcast apps. But anyway, the winner for the podcast awards is purely determined by voting. And it's kind of a pain. I'll say that right now. But in being a pain, it actually benefits us. So the voting process is over 2 weeks. And so starting this Sunday, you can vote once a day. And the good thing about daily voting is that it helps podcasts like us, medium-sized audiences, and you know, but with really engaged listeners. And it helps us compete with the big dogs. And this is the third year in a row that we are finalists in the Podcast Awards. Matthew Berry's ESPN Fantasy Football Podcast, whatever that's called, they pretty much won every year. And so they are not eligible to win this year. And I'll be honest, I think we have a shot, guys. And so I think if all of you listening are kind enough to vote for us every day for 2 weeks, I really do. I think we have a chance to win it. So I will try to remind you through our social media stuff without being, hopefully, being too obnoxious about it. Starting Sunday, you can go to podcastawards.com and you can vote every day for 2 weeks. I think it's like 15 days. So, but here's the shocker. There's another podcast awards, and it's called the Academy of Podcasters. And last year was the first year for this awards, and it was really just, you know, all of the biggest names in podcasting, and the finalists and the winners are decided by other big names, several celebrities, and, you know, the Academy. And so I was completely shocked when I got an email Monday morning that we were named finalists for those awards. And so some of the members of the Academy, so these are the people that make the selections and decide on the winners and everything. So these are some names you might recognize. Adam Curry, Jalen Rose, you know, basketball player, Jalen Rose, Leo LaPorte. I think Jalen Rose listens. I think pretty sure. Leo LaPorte.
I assume so.
Yeah. Mignon Fogarty. She's Grammar Girl. Roman Mars. Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang. Is he a Cubs fan, Andy? You're more into the comedy thing.
No, I don't think so.
No?
But I could be wrong.
Well, somebody put us there.
I just saw Comedy Bang Bang this past weekend, though, in Chicago, live taping.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was great.
Yeah.
Sorry, but continue. It doesn't have anything to do with anything.
No, well, maybe he knew you were there. Or maybe he saw that you had bought tickets and then looked you up, you know?
And that's what put us over the top.
Right. He looks up everybody that buys tickets, and he's like, oh, this guy's a podcast? Oh, I'm going to put him in the Academy of Podcasters.
Is that the way he talks to? Oh, I'm going to put him in the Academy of Podcasters.
I think so. I mean, I have seen his show. I could see him doing voices. But yeah, lots of others. And I guess this kind of demonstrates how surprised I am that we are one of the finalists in the sports category. In our category, we appear to be the only true, like, DIY, unaffiliated podcast in the group. We're up against ESPN podcasts, the NFL's official podcast, Bill Simmons, Men in Blazers, a CBS podcast. I mean, we literally are in there with the big dogs. And if you look through the other categories, you know, it's just, it's the biggest names in podcasting. Mark Maron, all the, you know, NPR podcasts, Serial, Snoop Dogg. It's crazy. So there's no voting for you to do this. So don't, you know, this is just kind of a sit back and wonder how the hell it happened. But if you're interested, because a lot of you obviously live in the Chicago area, the award ceremony for this, the Academy of Podcasters, is held in Chicago on July 6th at the Hyatt Regency. And so, yeah, we'd love to hang out and share that experience with any of you that are interested in attending that. And who knows, you might get to see us get up and give an acceptance speech.
Well, just stand there silently,
right,
wondering what to say.
Well, to quote Rube Waddell,
I was telling Corey the other day, I think we should show up in Dumb and Dumber-esque suits.
Oh, nice.
To the ceremony.
Yep.
A lot of ruffles. Oh, just
yeah, I mean, it's like a legitimate red carpet event. Like there literally is a red carpet. And I don't understand how it happened. But I'm really thrilled about it. So
thanks, Jalen.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. But I do have a request for you about these Academy of Podcasters. This is my request to the listeners. So the Academy would like for us to like hand pick a 5-minute clip from one of our shows. Like, I guess they listen to everything, but they kind of want a clip of what we consider to be the best of the best. And I really am just lost as to what to pick out. So I would love all of your help in finding a 5-minute clip that really kind of sums up what IVMB is. Like, I mean, I was thinking like, oh, well, internet muscle flexes would be kind of funny, but then it's like, yeah, I don't know if some, you know, like, you have to understand that whoever's listening to this is probably not a Cubs fan. It's just really weird when you talk about such a niche topic and the people judging it will have, like, we can make a Neckfurters, you know, Mike Quadi joke, and they're not going to understand what we're talking about. So, I don't know. So, if anybody has any ideas.
It is tough, you know. None of us can pick our own favorite kid, so. Right. If you can pick your favorite kid. Your favorite IVMB kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So
let
any,
us know. Because you sent us that email and I thought about it for a little bit and like, I have no idea. I mean, what do you choose? So help us out.
Yeah. And we, in the 5-minute clip should not be any of the Google, whatever robot voice that it just did for you, Kurt. We'll have to make sure it has good sound quality.
The clip's all robot voice.
We just put a, like,
the one with the good internet.
Right. I know. So anyway, yeah, being finalists for these awards, it's really flattering and actually pretty humbling. And so, you know, you all that listen to our podcast have helped make this podcast apparently award worthy. And I don't think it's our content or us as hosts that make it award worthy. I think it's the interaction in the community that's kind of formed around this podcast. So that's my opinion. And yeah, we seriously thank you. And you're all awesome. So let's talk baseball. So these last few weeks, you know, it just kind of feels like things were, I guess, moving along kind of in slow motion for the Cubs. Did it kind of feel that way to you? Like the pitching looked pretty good overall, but they weren't really hitting with runners in scoring position. And after, you know, getting off to such a hot start in April, starting with that Padres series, it just kind of felt like blah, you know, like it wasn't that interesting. And the losing sucks. But over, I guess, this last week or 10 days, we've kind of been trying to find the silver linings, which really hasn't been that bad of a stretch to find the silver linings. So I kind of dug into things a little bit, not real far. Obviously, this is IVMB. So, but, you know, we've been talking a lot about run differential this season, and everybody that is, you know, talking about the Cubs is talking about run differential. So since the Padres series, the Cubs have gone 7-8. So yeah, I mean, kind of blah. I mean, under 500, that kind of sucks. but in that stretch, their run differential is plus 17. So while their record before today's game was 30-14 overall, so now 31-14, but let's go off 30-14. The Pythagorean record, which is based on run differential, is 35-9. and you know, it's the 25th of May, and so far this month they have lost 9 games. 5 of those have been one run losses. 5 were one run losses. 3 were two run losses, and 1 was a 3-run loss. They have not lost any games this month by more than 3 runs.
Wow, that's a testament to the pitching, I think.
Yeah, seriously. But I mean, it was just that whole, like, the run differential has been crazy all season. And then when you look at, like, you know, really starting at that, at the Padres series, they're plus 17. Like, they're plus 17 in a stretch where they've gone under 500.
I wouldn't have expected that number to be so good.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen, like you said, I mean, it seems like they've been sluggish, kind of stagnant, not having a lot of kinetic energy. I don't know, kind of floundering a little bit. And so to hear that, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they when they lose by small margins. And when they win, typically, it's by large margins. So, I mean, that kind of, that's
a large marge. Like your internet kind of stuttered there for a second. It's by large marge. Well, large marge sent you. A scene I couldn't watch when I was a kid because it made me scared. It was a claymation.
So that's what I wanted to say about things before we get into the Cardinals series. And so talking about the Cardinals series, luckily I missed Monday's game. I coached my daughter's softball game. So I get home, fire up the MLB app, and Pat Hughes was in the middle of calling the walk-off home run. And man, that was discouraging. In one comment on Pat Hughes, he tied his record for the earliest turning point of a game. Tuesday's game, one out in the first inning. Soler came up to bat and it was a turning point. And it's kind of funny because when he does it, like, I think he says that and then he realizes like how silly that kind of sounds. And then he'll always kind of throw in a turning point can happen at any point in the game.
I don't support this picking on Pat business. I love
well, he
him,
should
man.
Just, I mean, it's not the right term for it.
Right.
You know, early in the game, you could say, you can't even really say it's like a pivotal moment. You could say it's an auspicious beginning or something like that, where, you know, I don't know what would be better to say, but turning point implies that things have been going one way for a while. Like there's a trend kind of,
there was a trend of one out
and there's a, you know, and that trend's about to be reversed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, the first guy got out and the second guy was not getting it out. 180 degrees turning point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, at least say, mate, like, this is like kind of a crucial, or I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, there's gotta
see
be
how hard it is. You see, you're just showing
right, and then I wouldn't, but I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, you just call the play.
right. Something that Ron Coomer struggles first. With.
They're just about to break the game wide open.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Any thoughts on the first game, first of all?
It was frustrating, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because, I don't know, we just want to see the Cubs beat the Cardinals every game. And so, especially with the beginning of the series, it's that much more frustrating. I wanted to talk about Lackey in that game. I thought Lackey looked great. All throughout that game, and he was cruising until he hung a pitch to Matt Adams, who hit it for a 2-run homer in the 7th inning. But if it weren't for basically that one pitch, I mean, Lackey's line would have looked similar to Hamels from yesterday. And so Lackey currently is 4-2 with a 3.38 ERA. And I found out today, you guys, that I'm 2 weeks older than John Lackey. That just doesn't seem right.
No. Like it, and your teeth are 2 inches shorter.
2 inches shorter, 2 weeks older. I'm talking about teeth, you know, let's be clear. I'm talking about teeth.
And Zobris is turning 35 very soon, so, you know, we're definitely reached the point.
See, I'm like David Ross, and Andy is like Lackey, and Kurt, you're the Zobrist.
Yeah, I'm the Zobrist. I'll be the Zobrist.
And so, just to continue the pitching conversation there, I mean, so John Lackey gives up the 2-run shot, and then later on, Warren, who's been pretty great for the Cubs all season, gave up the walk-off home run to Grichuk. After cruising through the eighth, he was going to be working 2 innings there. And in the bottom of the ninth, he gave up that home run to Grichuk. And he also gave up a 2-run shot today, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So a little worried about just a little bit concerned about the bullpen in general. If you look at their, you know, past couple weeks of work, they've still been pretty good overall, you know, and part of that is due to people like pitchers like Cahill and Grimm, for example. But their lefties, I don't know, man. I just
that's rough.
Like, speaking of the, you know, Clayton Richard, for example, had a rough bottom nine on Tuesday. Cahill had to come in basically and bail him out, as it didn't seem like he was going to be able to really get through it. Travis Wood gave up a home run today too and was immediately taken out of the game.
Yeah.
So they're not exactly inspiring confidence. So I guess Warren, Richard, and Wood, kind of the trio of guys that have been kind of hit around quite a bit lately.
Yeah, and Warren's a little more forgivable given how good he was early. But the lefty contingent is concerning. For sure.
Yeah.
I think Warren will level off. I mean, he's been pitching in kind of, I don't want to call him high pressure, but, you know, medium pressure situations, where, especially that end of the game where, like, you know, you give up the run, you lose. But yeah, the Wood and Richard situation is a little concerning.
Yeah, and yeah. I really just thought, you know, if you would have told me 3 years ago that, like, this is kind of the career track that Travis Wood was on, I would be kind of surprised. I mean, he's making like $6.5 million this year, and he is just not good. And I don't really understand what happened, if it had something to do with him losing, you know, being taken out of the starter role and being used the way he is, and, you know, from kind of like a long reliever down to now just kind of being a loogie. I don't know what's happened, but man, he is just not good. And I think his, you know, obviously with a salary like that, I mean, the Cubs are basically going to have to give him away if they end up wanting to move him at any point this season, but his contract is up at the end of this year. And I don't see any reason to even consider bringing him back.
Probably not. I mean, not given the recent track record, but I mean, he was good at a time, but hasn't been lately.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather, you know, I would kind of like the idea of, or I would like to see them do what they did last year, where just start bringing in these, like, washed up guys and just, like, you know, ride them for, you know, however long they can pitch, and then toss them aside and bring in somebody else, and just guys on the twilight of their career. But I don't know. Something's got to happen in that bullpen, I think. Because, you know, obviously they're not going to, the offense isn't always going to put, you know, games out of reach and give the bullpens a ton of a ton of room to breathe. So, especially, you know, if you look later in the season and heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, they need about 5 lefty Joe Nathans.
To immediately put on the DL.
I guess, like, one other thing that I wanted to say about Monday's game I guess you can say this about any game is, you know, if a couple things go different, you know, a little bit differently, it could have ended up, you know, a Cubs win or whatever. But, you know, one example was the Cubs had Fowler at third base with one out. And that was in the eighth inning. And, I'm sorry, it was in the ninth inning, the top of the ninth, when Rizzo made really terrible contact to kind of flare a ball out to Carpenter, who then doubled off Fowler at third. And that was a moment where they easily could have scored a run. And that was a moment that stood out to me. I mean, I already talked about how Lackey hung one up for that two-run shot. Warren kind of made one mistake pitch in his appearance, too, that led to the walk-off. So that game could have easily gone in the Cubs' way. I do want to mention Matheny was quoted after the Game 1 win as saying, "I'll absolutely buy into that this is something we're going to take off from." I mean, I guess they have been scoring runs, but the Cubs defeated them the next two games. So didn't exactly take off.
Especially, they really took off into Tuesday's game, didn't they?
Yeah, that one felt good.
They took something off. Yeah, okay, so getting into Tuesday's game, that's going to kind of lead me into my rant. So buckle up, gentlemen.
Look out. I might head to the bathroom real quick.
I'm not real wound up quite yet, so I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to keep it low-key, or maybe I'll just launch into it. But, you know, I wanted to talk about Soler, which is kind of frustrating because it seems like we've talked about Soler for, like, the last four or five episodes. Folks were really down on Soler a week or so ago, and even before that. I think it was our midweek episode last week, we talked about fans wanting him to get sent to Iowa. We joked about him going to what cheer. We talked at the time about his peripherals, that they seem to be okay. And we thought that rather than going to Iowa and beating up on lesser pitching, it made sense for him to get consistent at bats and kind of back on track at the major league level. And we kind of looked like we knew what we were talking about. Although surprisingly, there is still a ton of Soler hate out there, and I don't understand it. And I really haven't seen a single anti-Soler argument that was able to come anywhere close to convincing me that he's not fine. Outside of this is what I've heard is he has a bad batting average. That's the big that's what they're hanging their hats on, I guess. Which I think is fairly easily explained. And any other claims I've encountered just don't hold water to me. My favorite, and if you're the person that said this to me, I'm sorry, I'm going to call you out. I'm not going to call you out by name, but you're wrong. So I am going to, I think you're wrong. So I'm going to call you out. But so this person told me that he's bad because he hits line drives right at defenders and he swings at everything outside of the zone and watches good pitches go by. Now, that's the beauty thing of living in 2016 is that there's actually ways to look this stuff up. There's actually ways to like determine whether or not what you're saying is true. And the last two, that he swings at everything outside of the zone and he watches good pitches go by, those are just wrong. Look at his plate discipline stats. And on top of that, if you think that hitting line drives at people means that you have a poor approach at the plate, you're more than wrong. I mean, you're kind of an idiot. You know, like it's dumb. And so I think this is really a case of, I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of someone that is saying these types of things. And I think it's a case of, if you don't like a player, or if you haven't convinced, if you're convinced that a player is a certain way, or they're a certain talent level, or they're doing something in particular wrong, then chances are that's what you're going to see. You know, I think that Soler has a bad strike zone called on him. So because I think that, what do I see during a game? I see poorly called strikes that are outside of the zone, you know, but called strikes, And that's what I hone in on. That those are the things that stand out to me. And it's kind of like Starlin Castro. If you thought that he was bad, if you thought that he played with his head in the clouds, and you thought that he made dumb mistakes, that's what was going to stand out to you. And you would dismiss anything that says otherwise, either, you know, observed with your own eyes or through statistics. And I think that we're seeing some of that with Soler. I think that certain fans don't like him. And at the same time, I think that some fans are really unfairly comparing him to the rest of the young Cubs players, Bryant, Rizzo, et cetera. Like, he is never those guys. And that's just not the type of player that he is. And, you know, if you look at salaries, you know, he makes half of what Travis Wood makes. I think he's, you know, I'm pretty happy with him right now. And but if all you do is look at his batting average and you don't get past that, then yeah, he's just a bum. So I don't know, this conversation, it went back and forth for a while. And in situations like that, I don't really see much of a point in having a discussion with opinion without numbers or stats to back this up. You know, like I said, this is 2016. You can find stats on anything that you want to back up your claims. And, if you look at his batting average and you've seen all that you need to, and then just say that he strikes out all the time and he hits it right at guys and that's why he sucks. I don't know. Guys, maybe I need someone to keep me from getting into these discussions.
Well, I've told you that before, but you don't listen to me. So
I don't.
Tried setting your parental controls and that hasn't worked.
Yep.
I don't do it very often, but when I get in, I cannot get out. I just can't do it. And then some, you know, there were quite a few people involved in this discussion that disagreed with me, and someone like piped in that with their opinion that Soler needs a change of scenery.
What?
I'm going to breathe deep so I don't swear. Like, he has had less than one full season of a full season of big league experience. I cannot believe this stuff. Like, I cannot believe it when I read that. Like, it blows me away that someone thinks that. And so, I don't know. I go through and I back up all my opinions with all these stats and, you know, on how often he strikes out and swings outside the zone, swings inside the zone, his line drive rate, all that kind of stuff. And so this is the response that I got, guys. This is a quote. If he's doing all these things so well, why does he stink? By your account, he's tearing the cover off the ball. let's hope what you believe comes true. I got another quote coming up. It's going to be the internet muscle flex, I think. But I don't know. I know that you guys are kind of worried for my mental well-being, so I kind of ducked out of the change of scenery comment. I didn't have much to say about that. I just couldn't do it. But I don't know. I used to be a lot more argumentative than I am now. But man, when I fall back into it, it's just, I don't know.
It's a comfortable, yeah, well-worn path.
it's a place I don't like to go, but man, it's a thrill.
I'm the opposite. I just walk away. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. It was also said, I think this is someone else, said trade Soler and Baez because they both have low ceilings. They wanted to trade him. No,
it's the one thing they have is a high ceiling.
No, okay, so they said they wanted to trade him, right? And so I said, what, okay, you know, other than a bag of balls, which I know is what you want to say, like, what would you trade them for? Like, what would you trade Soler for? And this person said that he would trade Soler and Baez because they both have low ceilings for a stud outfielder that makes contact, has power, and will help us win it all. And it's like, I've said this before. Yeah, I think you guys understand why the Soler and Baez having low ceilings, how ridiculous that is. I pointed out that, like, you know, Baez's ceiling is MVP caliber, all-star / MVP caliber. But
the ceiling is like Ben Zobrist. I mean, the guy is, whatever.
So, as I've said before, it amazes me when fans hate their players, run them down, want them traded, but expect quote unquote studs in return.
And then if the deal doesn't work out, you fire the front office.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to hate on you, Corey, but I think that, like you were saying about those people, that if you want to believe Soler is bad, you will find it. And I think if you go on social media, looking for intelligence.
Well, that's just
you
won't it.
Find it. You're gonna find what you're looking for on social media.
No,
and you're gonna find stupid people.
Well, I know, but don't say that if you believe that Solaire sucks, you can find that information. No, you can't. That's just it. Like, you can if you look at his batting average. If you look at that one stat, and then like, but I got of well, that's what matters. What else am I supposed to look at? It's like, oh. But so we don't really do an internet muscle flex on the midweek episodes, but I got flexed on. And the person is so wrong throughout the entire discussion. But this was my favorite line is he told me, "You have a rare ability to find beauty in a pile of poo. Good for you."
You're a turd polisher, Corey.
Oh, man.
Let me kind of redirect this for a second. I mean, so it's pretty well documented that he's gotten a pretty poor strike zone called on him pretty frequently. But let's say Tuesday's game in particular really highlights what he can do when right. there's a good strike zone. As he watched, he watched some pitches go by that were borderline that he wasn't going to be able to do anything with. And he took them for balls. He drew two walks in that game, if I'm not mistaken, and also got two hits. And then his powers come along in the series as well, or has shown up, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, one of those hits was a home run.
Yeah, so I mean, he's shown what he can do if the ump is, you know, calling a good strike zone, and with his eye, I mean, he could be a force to be reckoned with.
Right. Yeah. Well, and one other comment was like, you know, oh, two outs in the bottom of the ninth of in the last game of the World Series with runners on second and third. He's the last person I went up one up. It's like, do you remember last postseason? Because he was about the only dude I wanted to come up most of the time. I mean, he was hitting the crap out of the ball. But I mean, in the last seven games, he's hitting .333. His OBP is .462 and he's slugging .714. Now I realize that's only seven games, you know, but I think he's heading in the right direction, and you know, he's had two home runs in that stretch, four walks. I don't know.
What is more pertinent to the next 7 days of baseball than the last 7 days?
Right.
Or are you going to look at the entire season of batting average, or are you going to look at the last 7 days of, you know, what the trends are during that span to be able to predict like what's to come in the near future?
Right. Look at like, I mean, start looking at things like BABIP, and it's just crazy to say like, oh, he strikes out all the time now. No, he doesn't. He actually strikes out less than he did last year. You know, oh, he swings at everything outside of the zone. Really? But like I said, if that's what, if you hold those opinions, when you watch a game, that's what you're going to see. When he does it once, that's going to stand out, and that's what'll stay in your memory. But I think he's turning things around, and you know, we talked about seeing signs of that during the Giants series, and it's really, I think it's really good to see him have a performance like he did on Tuesday. So, okay, Solaire rant done.
I was gonna say like we don't want to belabor this point, but I think we kind of did a little bit. That's all right though.
Rant now and then.
Yeah. How about, yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Bias's ceiling could be, I mean, I think it's higher than Zobrist, but how about Zobrist, man? If he could be what Zobrist has been in the last, like, two, three, 4 weeks, he's reached safely in his last 30 starts. And
he's what, like, 4-for-4 today? 4-for-5 today?
3-for-5, I think.
3-for-5.
With two RBI.
Oh, my gosh.
I looked up his splits in the last 15. He's hitting .473 with a .547 OBP in the last 15
years.
So yeah, he's just silly. I mean, they pitched around him, and he's still. That's kind of one of the. I think what did he take a walk at one point? That's part of the.
Yeah.
Why he basically didn't get a hit in one of his at bats.
Yeah, he's been insane. And man, can you guys believe? One other thing, I don't really have a ton to say about this other than today's game was just like nerve wracking. Like I went to get my haircut after work. And so I sat in the barber shop for the bottom of the ninth and I was like glued to my phone. Like it was the freaking playoffs. Like I was like, I wanted to get up and pace, but I was afraid I'd lose my place in line. So I was sweating. It was like, that was intense. I mean, just on game day, it was intense, but the whole game was. And
I think part of it was because I thought I was like, okay, I can relax now after Bryant hit the rerun shot, was it?
Yeah.
Came right back.
Yeah. So, I mean, is at that point, I was like, okay, they've got this in hand now. And no, they didn't.
Well, in the current,
I mean, so yeah, so it was pretty stressful.
Yeah, in the Cardinals, like Martinez's body language was so bad on the mound. Like we actually did a work lunch thing. We went bowling and they played the game up on like these big screens for us to watch, which was pretty cool. And like there was one, I think Martinez was pitching to Arrieta and thought that he got it, like should have gotten a called strike three, and he didn't get the call, and he literally fell to his knees. Like just like totally defeated. It wasn't like out of like, it didn't really look like it was like out of protest. It was just like, oh my God, really? I'm going to have to throw another pitch. So, but I don't know. And going back to yesterday, Tuesday's game, I really wish that game would have taken place. I mean, here we are coming up on Memorial Day weekend. I wish that would have taken place on Memorial Day so that we could have had the Memorial Day massacre to go along with last year's Labor Day massacre of the Cardinals. I just, last night was awesome.
We need a Memorial Day massacre because it just has a ring to it.
Oh man. Well, I don't, one other thing I was going to mention about the series, and this is probably the only negative from that game, is that positive Hayward return, negative, he basically was the only guy who did nothing, which I'm not going to hate on him for that because he was out for a bit. He was cold before he left, and you know, he's still a little bit cold now, but he did get a couple of RBI today with that off the base double. But he's still struggling, and I'm not going to dwell on that. Just kind of wanted to bring it up that it's nice to have him back. And he kind of had a rough time, but had some nice moments.
Yeah. I mean, when he ran into the wall on Friday night, is there any way you would have believed that he would be playing Tuesday?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
not on, way. On first glance, it kind of looked like of the same gravity of a situation as the Schwarber injury.
Right. Yeah.
Play. I mean, maybe not quite, but I mean, but close. Like it looked like it could have been pretty darn damaging.
And and the sound clips and stuff coming from the Cubs kind of made it seem like he would probably return like in this weekend series coming up with the Phillies, maybe like Saturday or something like that. I was totally blown away when I saw he was in the lineup for Tuesday's game.
I wonder if he lobbied, you know, just because it was the Cardinals, like he lobbied to get back in the lineup.
I think
sooner than they otherwise would have put him in.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, but
because I think he does want to get out there and do well against the Cardinals. I think
right,
and you know, maybe that's why he's scuffling a little bit in these past couple of games. Is he's pressing, you know?
Yeah,
but if you're gonna have a debut over a 15 hit 12 run win,
right,
is the night to do it. So it worked out okay.
Yeah. Yep. So so a series win. It's kind of funny because I mean it was a series win over the Cardinals. The Cubs, I believe, are 4-2 at Busch Stadium. For some reason, you know, I guess just today's game was so crazy that it doesn't. I don't quite have the high of a series win over the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Like, well, there's definitely. Oh, sorry. You can finish your thought.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say there's definitely a bit of a perplexing nature to the fact that Arrieta didn't have his best stuff. He was pretty hittable today. So you started off with that when we all go into an Arrieta start expecting greatness.
Right.
And perhaps a little bit unfair, but he's the one that set that precedent. So I'm okay with it. You know, he went five innings and gave up seven hits and four runs and a walk with four strikeouts, which, you know, isn't the worst outing in the world, but for Arrieta, that's about as bad as it gets over the last couple of years. So
yeah,
that was a little tough to start it out. And then like Andy mentioned earlier, you know, there were moments where you felt like, okay, now they got it. And then the Cardinals just kept punching back. And you know, I think the Cardinals deserve some credit for a good, game plan against Arrieta, not to give them a lot of praise, but whatever they prepared for worked pretty well.
Yeah. You know, and just on Arrieta real quick, you know, I growing up, you always heard about Rick Sutcliffe, and in 84, he had that 16-1 record when he came over to the Cubs. And, you know, it just like, you know, up till now, you look back on that, it's like 16-1. That is crazy. How in the world does someone do that? You know, and it's crazy now that Arrieta is 20-0, you know, of his last decisions, he's 20-0. And that is just bonkers. I mean,
and we're looking at like a 4-run outing as like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Right.
Yeah, right. Just, you know, like he fell apart. And I think it's some good context of,
right.
And I don't want to, again, this is another thing I don't want to dwell on. And I also don't want to pretend like this is an excuse, but it was so obvious from both sides that CB Buckner is like the worst umpire behind the plate that I've seen in a long time. It was excruciating to watch. I watched probably half the game live and listened to the other half, and he's just so awful. I mean, to the point where Molina puts his elbow in front of a pitch and then Buckner gives him the base as if, like, you know, Arrieta did it on purpose or something. It was absurd, the strike zone. And at one point JD said his exact quote was, "This is the most perplexing strike zone I've seen in a while." And Buckner was terrible today, and it was for both sides. So this isn't me saying like this is an explanation for why Arrieta was not his greatest today. It was just this, it contributed to the weirdness of today's game, and the both sides just kind of scratching their heads about what do I swing at, what don't I, and where's the strike.
By the way, I was listening to Coom Dog talk about it at one point, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase what he said, but he said something along the lines of, and now Matheny and Molina are barking at Buckner, and now he has, and now both of his ears are red or something like that, because Madden had been yelling at him earlier. And it's kind of like that. I've never heard anybody say that before. Like when an ump is getting flack from both dugouts, that both his ears are red now. Kind of like that.
Yeah, he was pretty horrific today. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's
been bad for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't see Molina leaning into that pitch. You know, I saw it on Twitter and people talking about it and stuff. And then when I saw I was thinking like, oh, I bet it was still kind of like, you know, like up for interpretation or something.
He didn't move.
Right.
When in fact he actually
like just leans right into it. Yeah. But yeah, that's admirable. For Cardinals fans, but then if the other team did it, that would be like the biggest tragedy and scumbag thing ever. So the Cubs are headed back to Wrigley for a 10-game homestand, starting with a series with the Phillies. And so if you're going to any of the games at Wrigley, take care of your parking ahead of time by using ParkWiz. And anytime I go to a Cubs game, I use ParkWiz because it's cheaper and it's easier than paying for parking in the lots when you get up there. So people in the neighborhood, they rent out their spots for games. And so you get detailed instructions on where to park, how to park. And again, it's cheaper and really takes care of the headache that is parking in Wrigleyville. So go to ivnv.com, click on the ParkWiz widget on the side of our page, and then select your game, and you're on your way. So, Kurt, tell us about the pitching matchups for this Phillies series.
Okay, so I'll start by saying the Phillies are sort of outperforming their record. They're going to come into the Cubs series at like 5-0, and I believe that they're I'm going off memory here, but I believe their run differential is -31 and they're 5-0. So there's some weird stuff going on in the Phillies land. But thankfully the Cubs are hitting their 3, 4, 5 starters. So they don't really have the elite staff that they used to. So on Friday it'll be Lester versus Adam Morgan. They've got a lot of young guys. Morgan's 26. He's a lefty who started 1-2 with a 5.61 ERA in 5 starts. He'll give up some contact, and I think he's a guy that the Cubs should be able to get after him pretty early. And if they don't, by the second or third time through the lineup, they'll they'll have him figured out. So he's not a very scary guy, but all pitchers could have a good outing.
Saturday, well, we saw that in the Brewers series.
Yep. Saturday's Hendricks versus Jared Eichhoff, all a 25-year-old righty. He's 2-6 with a 3.86 ERA. He's a guy who will have a good split with a lot of lefties in the lineup. So look for LaStella probably to get in there for that game. His last start was one of his better ones where he went 7, gave up 5 hits and no runs, and got his second win. So also hittable, but has had sparks of good pitching. So, and then on Sunday, you've got Lackey versus Vince Velasquez. He's kind of their most surprising starter and has been their best this year, even though he's kind of mid to lower rotation guy. He's 5-1 with a 2.75 ERA. He's a fastball changeup guy. And he came over to them in that deal where the Phillies and Astros, the Phillies got him in Appel along with a couple other guys for the Ken Giles, in that Ken Giles deal. So, again, Velasquez is a big surprise given that last year he's pitching in double A. Then he got called up to Houston in June, had a couple of okay outings, but then this year he's been really good. So probably the most challenging given recent performance will be that Sunday game, but then Lackey's been pitching pretty well. So none of these are really threatening or like scary. You know, they don't have a Scherzer or anything like that, that you're looking at like that's a tough matchup. So it looks favorable, but, you know, it's still baseball.
Right. Yeah. So, Andy, do you want to finish things off here with a Rube Waddell story?
Yeah, I do. So at one point Rube was playing for Columbus, and they played the St. Paul Saints, and he apparently pitched very well against the St. Paul Saints because in the St. Paul Globe, I'm going to read you an excerpt of the article from the Globe on Waddell's performance against the St. Paul Saints. It says that the Ruben Waddell who was touring with the Columbus Ball Club is not, as a matter of fact, the extracted essence of any great American beauty show. And his right hand couldn't pick up money on the street. But, oh, how his mightily left did mow down the St. Paul batsman in a short hour and a half or so at Lexington Park yesterday. This left is attached to one of two brawny shoulders that look like the storage batteries of 50 winning games per season. And Loftus has not been overdrawing his account either. And then here's my favorite part. The St. Paul Club does not take kindly to southpaw pitchers anyway, and when one comes who is as big as a horse, with speed like bad news, and crooks in his curves like the foreign policy of a puzzled administration, the apostles are at a considerable disadvantage.
Oh, man.
Don't you wish that beat reporters wrote like that now still?
I do. Oh, man.
Well, that's even the other quotes that you've read, like from newspapers and stuff, it's like, I don't know, it's such fascinating way to like
but then
construct
there'd be
a story.
Corey coming in and be like, well, if you look at his FIP, you'll actually see that his right hand could pick up a dollar bill.
Hey, I just know what I see with my eyes. You know. Do you guys want a little bonus one since I was just all... quotation
sure.
from a paper.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were playing in Minneapolis, you know, same team or whatever. And Rube was pitching really well. The opposing team was down by 2, but they had 2 runners in scoring position. And then Rube threw a wild pitch, and both runners ended up crossing the plate. So it must have been one heck of a wild pitch. But apparently, like, one of the infielders tried to cover the plate at the same time as Rube, and Rube got there ahead of him, and so the infielder like tried to push Rube out of the way for some reason, and he said at the same time, "Get off the ground," to him. Okay. And so finally, like, all that was resolved and they were ready to get back to the game and resume play, but they couldn't find Rube. Like, he was missing, and then all of a sudden they heard him yelling And he was sitting on the top seat of the right field bleachers. And he was yelling. He was yelling from the top seat of the right field bleachers. So this infielder, I think his name was George Thibault. He had to go over and ask him to come down and finish the game. And then Rib was quoted as saying, "If you want me to finish the game, then what did you yell? What did you yell? I'm sorry. What did you tell me to get off the ground for?" It was the way that he came back at him. And so they had to argue for a little while, but eventually they got him to come down and continue pitching.
My gosh, this movie needs to happen. And like, I actually, someone did write a screenplay. There is a screenplay out there about Rube Waddell, but oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, what would possess him just to run off? And then, like, not even, like, duck behind, I mean, outfield bleachers, right? Didn't you say right field bleachers?
Yeah, which I got to imagine the stadium was probably pretty small compared to what we're used to. But
sure, but still. Jeez. That is amazing. All right, so that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. And if you would like to financially support this show for as little as $1 a month, it's just pocket change, and it helps us tremendously, then check out our Patreon campaign. There's perks for you like IVMV stickers, posters, pint glasses. Go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon link on the side of our site. Stick around here at the end. Ian from Montreal, he called in an answer to Michael from Galesburg's question about baseball in Montreal. And also, we got a letter in the mail today, guys. It's not very, like, we, IBM, we got a letter in the mail. How awesome is that? So this came from Luann from Crete, Illinois, which she says down here on the corner, it says from Crete. And then in the corner, it says, which is 20 minutes from Three Floyds. So that's kind of, yeah, I think we need to go up.
I'm glad I don't live 20 minutes from Three Floyds.
I know, right?
There all the time.
Probably better.
So anyways, yeah, Luann sent in a financial contribution for the website, which is pretty awesome. And she said that she wore her IVMB shirt that she bought a year back to a South Bend game. So that's pretty awesome. And what she did was included, she also bought one of the John Baker t-shirts that you designed, Kurt. And so, yeah, we do have some events coming up. We have John Baker Day on July 29th, and that is a joint event with Danny Rocket and the Sun Ranto podcast. So if you want to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of the John Baker game with John Baker himself and all the hosts of these two podcasts, then go to ivmv.com/John Baker. And a lot of people that live outside of the area that wouldn't be able to make that event are interested in the t-shirt too. And so what you can do is just go through the same process. Just go ahead and buy it on there, and your shirt will get shipped to you. We're leaving the price the same because the proceeds are going to charity, Cubs Charities. That's what John Baker wanted. So yeah, just go ahead and do it the same way. And then what'll happen is probably in the next month or so, I'll reach out to you to find out if you want your shirt shipped or if you will be attending the event. So again, go to ivmb.com/John Baker. And then we have the weekend at the lake. I think that we're going to have to move away from our usual camping area because the group, I think, is just too big. So I started clearing out a larger area on the back 40. So come hang out with us for a weekend of camping, swimming, fishing, wiffle ball. We'll watch the Cubs game at Duffy's and get all the details at ivmv.com/lake. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so there's not a lot of details there. I just realized that. There's not a lot of details, too, but it's because we're kind of figuring this thing out as we go. But how I described it, those are the things that are going to happen. So, but that is the Facebook event. You can get there, again, by going to ivmv.com/maybe, or maybe, ivmv.com/lake. And so get yourself down as a maybe if you're thinking about coming. And if you don't do the Facebook thing and you're considering coming, then email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivmv.com, Corey at ivmv.com. So we will be back at some point this weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, so our recording schedule might get thrown off a bit. But at some point, we will be back to talk about the series with the Phillies. And until then, Go Cubs.
Hey guys, I just caught up with the podcast and heard the question about the viability of the baseball coming back to Montreal. In the short term, answer is yes. Montreal is a baseball nut case community. Everyone thinks hockey is the number one sport, but baseball has been here since before the Royals. So there is a fan base, as you can see in Toronto every time the Blue Jays come for spring training. But I think one of the major problems that we've had is the Expos have always played after Gerry Park. They've always played in the Big O. And that's a horrible stadium, as you saw on TV for many years, in a really bad part of town. The number one thing would be to get a downtown ballpark, which almost happened, but with the new owner of the ballpark, I can't remember his name, the guy who currently owns the Miami Marlins, purposely crushed the team, and it never worked. So location of a park, and the number two thing is a rivalry. Playing in the NL East for all those years, having the Braves, the Mets, it wasn't that great. But the way Major League Baseball has been talking about Montreal for the last couple of months, saying that if they were to take the Tampa Bay team and be in the AL East, it would be a huge deal to play against Toronto, Boston, and New York. Three huge rivalries when it comes to easy driving. Five-hour drive to New York, five to Toronto, five to Boston. It would bring the rivalry. It would be really fun to watch these teams. And I promise you, if they build a park downtown and bring back the Expos, it's going to be something to see. But on that note, still a huge Cubs fan, and they'll always have a place in my heart. Have a great day, guys.